Thank you, Michael. Good morning, Grace. Good to see you. How y'all doing? Yeah. Looking good. Well, can you believe that it's the end of July? What happened this summer? Looking forward to August. We're going to have the kids with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have some things planned in here that we're going to do. It's going to be a little different that you would also be able to enjoy with the kids. So look forward to that all of August. My sister, my oldest sister, called me to wish me a happy birthday. I was in a meeting. I didn't able to take it. We called back and forth, never got to talk to her. But I was thinking about my sister and her husband. Now, I hope they don't listen to this, but they're old. No. He's 96. Okay, yeah. So you get, when I say is they're old. Yeah. And just one of my favorite brother-in-laws. He's just an amazing, amazing man. And I'll never forget, they had these two weenie dogs. And went over to their house. They always took me in. They did things with me because of some things my dad was doing that was difficult. And but I'll never forget. He looked at me and said, David, my dogs can spell. What? Yeah, my dogs can spell. And I said, well, what do you mean they can spell? Dogs are dumb as a rock. Sorry about you dog lovers. I'm a dog lover. He said, no. And he called them by name, or forget their names. And watch this, he said. O-U-T-S-I-D-E. And they ran over to the door. Now, for those of you that can't spell, it was outside. And they ran over the door. Wow, they can spell. They're bright dogs. They're smart dogs. And we know that dogs are smart. A lot of animals are smart. But they're not like God created us. God created us with an incredible brain and mind. He created us with the ability to think something through. An ability, I mean, can you imagine a dog making plans for an airplane? No, that would never happen. Not even a monkey. It's just not going to happen. When God created us, He created us in a special way. And He created us in a special way where we could communicate the things that we're thinking about. We can think about something and then we can put it into words and articulate what we're thinking about. Now, it's amazing, though, how little we do that. I mean, just an example, Facebook. No, I'm kidding. I know I pick on Facebook. There's not much thinking that goes into it, and it's mainly an emotional response and striking out at someone. Not everyone does that, I'm sure, but those are the ones I like. The ability, though, that God has given us to think something through. Now, He created us that way because there were some things that He wanted to work in our lives and He wanted to partner with us in life. And He gave us His Word. And we've been studying in Romans. And let me tell you, Romans is not one that you lay back on your bed and you are falling asleep and you read it and think you're going to get anything out of it. Now, maybe you'll get a little bit out of it. But Romans is one of these things your brain has to connect. The synapses have to begin charging and firing. The nerve endings have to come alive. And you have to be alert. And you have to begin to really think. And only you and I can do that as human beings, as God create us. And then there's something else that takes place when we come alive in Jesus Christ. Our spirit comes alive, and there's some things that begin to happen, but we have to use our brain, our mind. We have to begin to think things through. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, the power of the mind. What is that saying they said in the 70s, the black community? It's a terrible thing. What is that? It's a terrible thing to waste. Thank you. The mind, see, how old are you guys? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. And that's true. Thoughtless decisions, living life in a way that you don't have maybe a good thought or a reasonable thought or thinking things through. In the text today, it's interesting, he uses the word mind. Let's read that in verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. I'll get there in a minute. For I delight in the law of God in the inner being. But I see in my members, I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Inside of me, in my spirit, I delight in the word of God. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. There is something inside of me that is waging war against the law of my mind. Waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my member. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. He's saying there's a conflict that's going on inside of you. With your mind, you delight in serving God, serving the law, doing the law. With your mind, you recognize that the law is good. Now, let me just hold on a minute, though. Hang on. Because didn't he say something about the bad mind? Didn't he tell us something about a mind that was corrupted? And now he talks about this mind that delights in the law of God. Well, let's go back with me and pay attention as we get through. We'll preach differently when the kids are here, but you've got a mind and a brain that you can think along with me. So I'm going to go back to Romans 1, where we began this series, like in March. And you remember what it said, verse 14. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they came futile in their thinking or their mind. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So there is something that happens to us. And by the way, he was talking about every single man or woman that's ever lived, that we became self-focused, sinful. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And so it shows that there's something wrong. What he's talking here, though, is a mind that's been regenerated, a mind that has come alive in Christ. And the struggle that's going on in the human being. So their thinking was darkened, futile in their thinking, empty. And then skip down to verse, I think it's 25. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. In their mind, they knew what the truth was. In their brain, they knew, they understood. But they exchanged it for a lie. Because they didn't want to serve God. They didn't want God to be God of their life. They wanted to do their own thing, live their own way. They wanted to be God of themselves. No one was going to tell them and tell us what we're to do. We're going to serve ourselves, live for ourselves. I am number one, more important than anything else. And because of that, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passion. And let's skip down to verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, they didn't think about God and say, yes, He is God in my life, God gave them over, listen to this, to a debased mind. So you see kind of a snowball effect that is taking a place when people who begin to deny God, they begin to serve self, they don't want to live for God, they want to live for themselves, and you see a deteriorating factor or a snowball effect that sin, and the effect that it has upon the mind. But then you go over there to, let me read this, it's in your notes. Romans 8. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But then it says in Romans 12, and this is in your notes, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. Well, how is he going to do that? By changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. It is such a key thing for us in our relationship with God. And then he goes on, by changing the way you think, he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Then you will learn, or let me put it in my own little translation, which actually is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter or the fifth chapter, and it says, it's almost the same wording, but it's translated this way. Trying to learn what the will of God is. Proving it. Trying to learn what the will of God is. That God wants to do something as in our brain. He wants to do something in our head, in our mind. He wants to change some of our thinking because our thinking is stinking, and that's what's got us into trouble. The selfishness and making decisions and thinking ways of pleasing self instead of pleasing God. The mind is so important when it comes to Christianity. The world can think whatever they want, but you and I, we need to think, what is God saying? What's God's will? What is He saying to me? What does He have to say in His Word about me and how I should live and what I should do? Well, there's two things this morning that I want us to see that need to be imprinted in your mind. That it needs to be settled in your mind. It needs to go deep, deep in your thinking and understanding. These two things. The first one, and it's in your notes here, the Father has done a powerful thing in me through Christ. Now, I know that seems so simple, and it is simple. But it's so powerful, and I want us to see as we go along, we're going to see some power in this. Romans 6, 7 and 8. We know that the old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 18, this is chapter 6, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, those are just scriptures. Those are important scriptures that we got to get and that we have to understand. And so I want to illustrate this in this manner this morning on what he's getting at. And I just put together a couple things here. This is not part of this. I learned from Andy Stanley, he kind of gave me the idea. But some of this is others, my own. So right here in the first picture, here's some ping pong balls. See? Just a ping pong ball. Good catch. All right. Now, this represents sin, our lives in sin. It represents that the law says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that everyone have sinned. The wages of sin is death. And in the world, I am lost. I have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. This is where the world is. And in it, everyone has received sin in their lives because we have a sin nature. And these little ones represent the stain of sin, the evil in us, the evil heart. And all have sinned. You know, Dave Manning, Will Everts, I know it's hard to believe. Here's especially a black, sinful one. Candy Everts. And all of these are every single one of us. And we have sin in our lives. And we need to face that. If we confess our sins, it says, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There is something that he does inside of us. And I want us to, as we think about this, I want us to visualize it in our own lives. But I'm a sinner. That's what the Bible says. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm a sinner. Who's going to deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so those of us who recognize that, it says we become in Christ and our sins are forgiven. And even the most, you know, candies, they're all forgiven in him. Our hearts are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, we sang that song and it says that our sins, that through the blood of Jesus, that we have become white as snow. An incredible thing has taken place. Now I am in Jesus Christ. Now I'm in him. And so what he says here, what he's saying, and so let me read some of these scriptures again, because it's something that has happened, something that has taken place. We know that the old self was crucified with him in order the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So I've been crucified with Jesus. Now, I really wasn't crucified, but in the Spirit, in what God is trying to do in my life, I've been crucified with him. And so I am dead. That's what we've studied. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law. The law has no bearing on our life. And when God looks at us, oh, wait a minute, I can see through that and I still see Candy's sin. It's obvious. I'm talking about the old Candy. Oh, wait a minute, she's new. No, I can see some of the... Can you see that one of Cindy Candy's? Oh, there's Heather. Oh, she's sinful. And Jason could tell you some things. And he could. Talk to him afterwards. He'll tell you a couple things. Of course, he'd be in big trouble, but But we are, you know, he says, we're white as snow. Wait a minute. I'm not white as snow. Well, he says we're white as snow, but I know better. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. But I know that I'm not white as snow. So what's that all about? It's how God views you. It's who you are. You're in Christ. It's what he has done in your life. You know, it says that we have been raised in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean to you? In heavenly places. Now, it said, it has told us that. In fact, let me just read it to you so you know I'm not lying to you. Because it says about Jesus when he died. Let me go back. And what is the immeasurable greatness of the power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead? He raised Christ from the dead, and he seated him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only this age, but in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all the things in the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now you can believe that because you know Jesus, and you know what it is, that Jesus was raised from the dead. All power is given him, and he was seated in heavenly places by the Father. But then he goes on, he says about you and about me, I have been raised from the dead and seated in heavenly places. Well, now wait a minute, I can believe that about Christ, but how about me? It's how the Father views you, perfect through Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. He has done an incredible thing with you. But that's not the end of the story. I said that there are two things that in your brain, in your understanding, that you've got to get in your head. And the first thing was, God has done a powerful thing through Jesus Christ. And I'm raised with him. I've been washed. I've been purified. I'm white as snow. Now see, as we studied Romans 7, he said, my mind wants to do what's right, but my body doesn't do what's right, or my sin nature. And he says, who's going to save me? Remember we read that? Who's going to save me from this? And he said, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse that he says that, did you catch that when you've studied it on your own? It says, oh, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And if thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, see, the it's not the end of the verse yet. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but in my flesh I serve the law of sin. Now there needs to be something settled in you that you're a believer, that Jesus Christ died for you, and you accept his death, his burial, his resurrection. You come to him and you say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That needs to be ingrained in your thought, because there's going to be times that you're not going to feel like that. There's going to be times that you're going to be honest with yourself and you're going to find yourself doing things that you didn't want to do, and you're going to say, I don't know. I don't know if I ever really was saved. Whoa, pull it back, baby. Go back to what needs to be ingrained. No, if you're in Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now, what did it take for this salvation? What did it take? Here you are in sin. Here you are, and you came. Jesus brought you to him. Jesus convicted you. Jesus drew you by his Spirit. You began to get a desire, and you saw that you were sinful, and you said, Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. and you became in Christ. That was it. That's it. You can never earn this by cleaning up your act. You will never get closer to God because it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you say, but wait a minute. The Bible says all kinds of things that, like in Philippians, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what's that about? It's not saying that you're going to get closer to Christ by working. No, this salvation that you have, work out your salvation now with fear and trembling. There's some things, and this is the second part, of what your brain has to grasp. What you have to get, there's something that God wants to do in my life now. There's something that He wants, something that by His grace and His mercy that He wants to do in me. He's not done with me yet. He has not just saved me just to continue on, but He wants something else. We're to work out our salvation. We're to struggle with some things. You don't struggle for your salvation, but you're working it out in Jesus Christ. Peter said it this way. He said, you're in grace. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, grow in grace. He tells us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Christ, what did you do to get there? You came to Him because He drew you and you accepted Him and you asked Him to forgive your sins. Now you're in Christ. But now He wants to do something in your life. Now He wants to begin to cleanse you and to wash you. He wants some things to take place in your life. Not so that you can gain the salvation, but so the salvation can become complete in you. You can gain no more as far as relationship with Jesus Christ through Him. But there is something, and you know, that when you sin, you kind of, I don't think I can talk to God right now. I need to take care of this. And you feel guilty and you kind of shy away. It's interesting, people who are in the way in Christ Jesus and they go to church and they have a real heart for God and they're serving God. It's obvious the Holy Spirit is upon them and they're saved. And then you see them begin to pull back. And usually, not all the time, but usually what is, there's some type of sin that they don't want to hear the things of Christ. They won't go to prayer meetings or to things like that because they really can't pray. They feel guilty. And they feel bad, and so they begin to pull back. They don't want to be part of things because they just, you know, they find reasons why they don't need to. Well, I'm busy, or I'm sick, or I'm, you know, my nose has been running the last few days, or you know what I'm talking about? And they're not facing, no, I need to go back to my original thing. I need Jesus. Jesus, forgive me. And let Him wash you and cleanse you afresh. And not that you're going to get any closer to God in His love for you, but He's working something out in your life. Because you know, if you're in here, you know that there's still some issues with you. You know there's some stuff in you that you need to turn to Him and that you need to change, that you need to give up, that you need to repent of. And what God wants to do, remember it said there in Romans 12:2, the renewing of your mind? That by His Word, He wants to begin to, in Ephesians it says, to wash you by the Word. Now, I didn't try this out, I hope it works. So, yeah, thank you. He wants to wash you. And He wants to wash the things in your life. And you're not going to become perfect, but He's working in you. And you know what? When Candy was 18, man, she was one brat. And now she's a woman of God. Oh, she's got a little stain still. She's got a few things she's still working on. That sinful woman. But she's allowing God to wash her by the Word. Every morning she reads the Word. Every morning she's faithfully to church, usually listening to the Word of God. And God is doing something in her life. And that's what God wants to do in all of us. That's what He wants us to happen in all of us. Listen to these scriptures. I didn't have this in your notes because I didn't have enough room. God wants us to overcome sin in our life. He wants to wash us and be overcomers. Will you ever be perfect? Not until you get a new body. And then you'll be with Him forever. And then there will be a completely and total washing. And it's all going to be different. But until then, you're in Christ. But you're to be doing some things. You're to be struggling with some things. You don't struggle to be in Christ. That is something He does in you. You're saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Oh, I've worked real hard in my salvation. That's just something God did in you. And He washed you and He cleansed you and He made you white as snow. And you're in Christ. But now, being in Christ, there's something inside of you that wants to please Him. There's something inside of you, a desire to know Him better, to be washed in Him. In Romans 6:12, it says, do not let sin control the way you live. Let me read that again. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. You say, I try, but I keep doing. I know, and you're in Christ. I know you. I know some of you in your sins. Some of you don't know that I know, but I know. You know, I'm sneaking around. I've got ears to hear. Anyway, I'm kidding. I know some of those things. And God's working in your life. And sometimes you have failures, and sometimes you feel yucky, and you go to Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with this and this. It's interesting. In Ephesians, remember that scripture that Jesus put on the right hand of the Father? And it says, we've been raised up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But then it goes on to the fourth chapter. It says, since these things are true, see how you live. Live like those things are true in your life. And that's the idea. That's the thought. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants those things to be washed from us. Romans 6:19. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. So you begin to do this process in seeking God. Oh man, I tell you, I see that greed in me. God help me. I want to be an overcomer. And it's not just praying. You begin to do things. It says, rid yourself of a temper. Isn't that it? It says, and clothe yourself with love. It's something that you begin to do in your life because you're in Christ Jesus, and you're going to grow in this grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you begin to work on these things. You begin to read the Bible, and it begins to wash you and to cleanse you. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. That means you're pursuing what's right in God. You never give up. What is the only failure? It's when you give up. And we never get up, and we keep seeking God because we know that we're in Jesus Christ and I've been forgiven. I'm not perfect. I've been forgiven, and God is still working in my life. So how does this practically work? I mean, how can we use the brain because he talks about the brain and the importance of the brain. And we saw in Romans 1 how there's a deterioration in how we think and what we see in life. So what do we do? Well, it's what I say about myself. It's what I say about Dave Manning. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Well, what does that mean? Well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner and that I need Jesus Christ, and I know that every day of my life. But now, who's going to deliver me? There's something that's going to take place. I can never give in to sin. But when I do, and you will from time to time, you have a Savior that you go to who will strengthen you and help you in your life. Now, your brain needs to be ignited. It needs to kick in. I used to say, as a kid, I hate carrots. I hate cooked carrots. How many of you hate cooked carrots? Yeah. And so what do? Just try one, Mom said. Mother-in-law, just try one. What's wrong with you guys? I don't like cooked carrots. I hate cooked carrots. I've told myself my whole life I hate cooked carrots. You can ask my wife today. I'll say, "Honey, make cooked carrots for us, would you?" What happened between a kid and a young man and even into my 50s or 40s anyway, I hated cooked carrots. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. I decided that I was going to love cooked carrots. True story. And so I began to say, I think I like them. And they would, Mom would cook and she'd say, "Try it. Okay, I'm going to try it. Oh, hey, that's not bad." And I'd think, "Oh, this is bad stuff." But I'm saying, I'm not lying to you. This is what I did. And I began to tell myself, eat carrots every time and tell yourself you like them and you love them. I talked myself into it. Because our brain can do that. I'm just telling you. Now, a brain that is ignited in Jesus Christ can do amazing, amazing things. If my brain with cooked carrots can do that, I did that with those little cabbages. What do you call those? Brussels sprouts. People would eat those Brussels sprouts, and I would think, what is wrong with them? Now, today, I'll get a bag of frozen Brussels sprouts. I'll put it in the microwave, and I'll eat the whole bag with salt and pepper on it. It's wonderful. What happened? I talked myself, my brain. My brain came into it. Now, understand, I am talking here to these people right now, what I'm going to say. I knew a guy. This is not in Salem. This is not in Oregon. This doesn't have anyone that you know. So, I have to be careful in these things. It's no one you know. But I was talking to him one day, and he had an affair. And he said, "Dave, I've messed up." I said, "I know you have. And how can we fix it?" He said, "Well," this is what he said. He said, "I got to be honest with you. It's just who I am. And if I have an opportunity with a beautiful woman, I'm going to take it because that's who I am." In his brain, in his mind, he had convinced himself that he called himself a Christian. And you would say, "Well, Christian don't do that. That's terrible." Yeah, I agree with you. But what happened in his brain, in his mind, he decided that that's just what it was and it couldn't be changed. Let me tell you, in Jesus Christ, it can be changed. If I can change by an act of speaking and concentrating with my brain to like carrots and whatever that other thing was, Brussels sprouts, what was it? Yeah, if I can do that, can you imagine what you can do in Christ? Who have raised you up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who has done amazing things in your life, who he says, "I've got to go so I can send the Spirit." So he leaves and the Holy Spirit comes. And if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God is in you and you have a power of God. But there's some things that you cannot do. It will mess you up when it comes to this relationship. And that's to tell yourself, I'm not a Christian. To tell yourself, I can't do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you are a heterosexual or a homosexual, you never say, I can't. This is who I am. You never say, it was John Piper that was telling a story about a guy who got saved in his church who was a homosexual. His name was Joe. And Joe was a very bright man, and he came into the church, and he was there with him for 10 years. And he helped them write some of the bylaws of the church. And he died of AIDS 10 years later. And Joe, as he was helping them write about their relationship with homosexuals and how they should approach it, this is one of the things that he said. You can never say, I am a homosexual. You should never say, I am a homosexual. You say, I have homosexual tendencies, and I need the power of Jesus Christ to change me. And that goes for all of us. Well, you don't understand, when I was a kid, I'm going to tell you true facts, but when I was a kid, I was sexually abused at 5. My dad had porno magazines, and I looked for several years at the porno magazine. I had in me this overly sexual desire. Well, I just can't help myself. I mean, I could say that. Well, I just can't help myself. This is too powerful in my life. I just can't change. I just can't do anything to overcome this thing. No. I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm a new life. And I need to begin to confess that. And that's why he says such positive, incredible things, that you've been raised in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to begin to see yourself that you're with Christ. See, what it creates in you is a new identity. I'm someone different. I'm not what I used to be. I can change. As God begins to work in my life, and as I begin to struggle with some of these things and overcome some of these things, and I make a stand for the things of God, as I begin to study the Word and allow it to wash me and to cleanse me, it will affect my life and change me. He wants you to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. And when you come to know Him as Lord and Savior through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you confess Him as Lord of your life, then He wants you to start the struggle. The struggle to be an overcomer. Let me tell you what it does to you when you give in to the life of sin. And you say that I can't help myself. I can't do it. It begins to seal the deal in your life. You begin to get such a stronghold, such a powerful thing, that it will control everything in your life. But if you come to Him and recognize who you are in Jesus Christ, you say, well, I have done that. I keep praying. I keep singing. I know. And some of those things will take a lifetime. No. Some of those things will take eternity when finally Jesus gives you that new body. And your spirit is connected to that new body, and you're raised up truly, not only spiritually into heavenly places, but raised up into heaven to meet Christ in the air. And you're going to be with Him for eternity. And all that struggle, all that battle, all that stuff that you're fighting to overcome, it comes to an end. But until that day, you fight the good fight. Until that day, you keep working on those things. Worship team, come on up. You don't work to get your salvation. You don't work to get in Christ. You accept Him. And then there's something that happens by the Spirit of God where He becomes alive to you. Confess with your mouth Jesus Christ. But also confess that old things pass away and all things become new. And there's a process. Let me read this scripture to you. Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and he says, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, or we call you lump, a new bread, an unleavened bread. Now listen to the word. I'm going to read this again. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, a new bread. And he says, as you really are the new bread. He says, start cleansing those things out of your life. And he was talking about something in the church, the context here, but it has to do with your life as well. Cleanse out those things so you can become a new bread. And by the way, you really are a new bread. You get that? I mean, that's amazing to me. Let's stand. Listen, Jesus is enough in our... Well, Father, we want you to be enough, and so we confess that you're enough in our lives. But we know that there are things that seem to take control, and God, we turn those over to you. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the hope of eternal life that we have and that's resident within our lives, that we've been made alive. And Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon us, that truly we can say he is enough. He's everything that I need. He's my hope. He's my portion in life. In you, I have everything. Thank you, Lord, for that. And today as we go, may we go with your Spirit with us, strengthened, and our mind engaged on the things of God. And I pray if there's someone that doesn't know you, that they might call upon you and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner, and come to that place of relationship with you and begin to pursue you in their lives. And we thank you, Lord, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you today. You're dismissed. Love one another before you go today.